We'll start Perek Yud Pasuk Ches in Shmuel Aleph. It says, "Follow Yeradato Lefani HaGilgal." So everything we've been saying up until now, right, is that Shmuel Nevi was telling Shaul HaMelech what was going to happen to him, all the different things that were going to happen as this was going to, as it was coming forth. He told him all the crazy things around here, and he said, "Yeradato Lefani HaGilgal. You'll go Lefani HaGilgal. You'll go to Gilgal." Right in front of me, and you're going to wait. I'm going to go down to you, and you're going to wait for me to bring up these korbanos of shlamim shivas yamim for 7 days. Tochel, that's how long you have to wait for. Until I come to you, I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Now, everything else he had told him up until now about meeting those guys on the way, prophesying while he was there, being together with all those other people, etc. All that came to pass immediately. This was the only one that's going to be in the future, and it was something that Shaul HaMelech could have very well have forgotten about. But it was also the most important one. It was the one that he tells him a command. The other ones are, you're going to prophesy. You're going to take some bread from them. You're going to get everything. Once everything comes to pass, then understand that I'm commanding you to do one thing. Wait for me until I bring those korbanos. It's going to take 7 days, and then I'm going to show up, and then you'll bring the korbanos. Pasuk Tes, Vahiyo. Kafnoso Shichmo. When he turned his shoulder, Lelechas Meim Shmuel, to go away from Shmuel. Vayafoch Lo Elohim, Lev Acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him another heart. Yavol Kol Ozeh Eila Vayimahu. All these signs came to pass on that day itself. Now, number one, it's not nice to do that to your master, your Rebbe, etc., for him to turn away from Shmuel. So it shows that he already became a king. And when you're a king, you can turn away from other people, even to someone who might be considered your Rebbe. It is normally a lack of respect, but now he ranks above Shmuel HaNavi, and this showed that he was above Shmuel HaNavi. That's number one. Number two, right, the next thing that happened was Vayavo Sham HaGivasi. He came to Giva, meaning Hevel Nevi'im Likrasa. There was a bunch of Nevi'im that were coming to greet him. Atitzach Lav Ruach Elokim. He got that spirit of God, Yisnab V'Socham, and he prophesied among them, right, to be able to give a divine message among everybody else. Vayikol Yodomi Etmol Shol Shom. Everybody knew him from before. Vayiru, they saw Vine'im Nevi'im Ba Niba. He was prophesying together with the Nevi'im. Vayomra Amel Isho Reo. Everybody said to each other, Maseh Hayol Ben Kish. Hagam Shol Ben Nevi'im. What happened to the son of Kish? Right? He's the son of Kish. Nobody has heard of Nevi'im in his family. Is also Shaul among the Nevi'im? Did that happen? How is Shaul now among the Nevi'im itself? Everybody agreed that Shaul HaMelech was a great person. But to be a Navi, you need training. You need to do something about it. How in the world did he get the training to be able to do this? That was the question they asked. And Ish Misham, a person responded and he said, Bayomra, Mi Avi'im. Who is their father? In other words, the idea is, it's like, well, yeah, because the father of every person goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So anybody could be a Navi at any time. And therefore, Al-Kain, Haisal HaMashal, became a Mashal among people, Hagam Shaul Ben Avi'im. Is Shaul really a Navi? That's what people said when you were incredulous about something that happened. You were shocked. How could this have happened? You would say, Hagam Shaul Ben Avi'im, right? That's what people would say. To refer to such a thing. Yeah, that was the idea behind it. Vayechal Mi'istabos Vayavu Abama. He stopped from prophesying, and he went to the Bama itself. Shaul met those prophets right outside of the altar, and then he went through, and he went to the altar in order to daven for all the gifts, the ruchnias that he's just been given. They were Dod Shaul, a love. The uncle of Shaul said to him, and I for sure think there's something here about David HaMelech being hinted to in this pasuk, even though it's Dod Shaul. I think there's for sure something over here, but I don't know what it is. Now, their own, he said to his youth, Unhalakhtam, where do you guys go? Look, we went to go find the she donkeys. We saw that it wasn't there. So we ended up coming to Shmuel itself. And therefore we came over to Shmuel. But you're Dod Shaul. What does Shmuel say to you? Everyone knew that Shmuel was looking for a king. They knew that Shaul was special. And they also saw that Shaul HaMelech was starting to prophesy. So they turned to him and they said, what does Shmuel say to you? You ever show all dodo? Shmuel said to his uncle, Hagedi gilanu kinimzu asonos. He told us the donkeys have been found. As varam luchalo higilo, asher Shmuel. But he would not tell him that he had become king. It was still a secret for now. It was not meant to become public.
What happened
not until
to the anointing oil and all that kind of stuff?
What happened to what?
The anointing oil.
The anointing oil, remember, was only in private. The public anointment was going to be later.
It wasn't there? You're allowed to wash that off, or it just went away?
No, but it also could look like the guy just put on oil on his head. It didn't look any different from a regular thing that they had back then, so it was okay. Because Shaul HaMelech remained silent over here when he was asked, and he had that anivus, he had that humility, Queen Esther became his descendant. That was Queen Esther, who also showed a little bit tzias and kept her lineage from Ahasuerus. Now, Vayatzik Shmuel al Hashem HaMitzvah. Shmuel HaMelech gathered everybody, to Mitzpah in order to coronate him and to accept Shalom Melech as the king of all Klal Yisrael. Yimro b'nei Yisrael, he said to b'nei Yisrael, Komar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is what Hashem says, God of Israel, Anochi Alisi Yisrael Yisrael, I brought up b'nei Yisrael for Mitzrayim, V'atzil Eschem Yav Mitzrayim, and I saved you from the hands of Mitzrayim, Yaakov Malachos, Lochatzim Eschem, and from all the kingdoms that have oppressed you in the past. I took care of everything. V'atem, Hayom Ba'astem Es Elokeichem, but you today, you've despised your God. Asher hu Moshiach lechem mikol ro'osechem. He is the one that saved you from all of your evil sorosechem and all of your pain. V'atomilo, you said to him, ki melech tosim aleinu, that you want a king over us. V'atom yisatzu lefnei Hashem, l'shivtecho lo'afeichem. Now stand before Hashem according to your tribes and according to your thousands. If you want it, I'm going to make you the king. V'yakav Shmuel is kol shivtei Yisrael v'yelochet shivim ben Yamin. So Shmuel Levi put all the names of the tribes in a box itself in the form of a lottery. Put his hand down and he pulled out the name of Ben Yamin. And he wanted to show, I'm not doing this. This is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making the decision. I'm not making this decision. Vayakar Yishev Ben Yamin Lushmachosav. He gathered all B'nai Ben Yamin according to their families. Vatei Lachin Mishpachas of Atri. And the family of Matri was taken the same thing. He pulled it out. Vayilachin Shol Ben Kish. And eventually they got Shol Ben Kish. Vayimakshuhu. They searched for him. Belon himself. But they couldn't find him. Shol Melech was just there. But he realized he was going to be chosen. Walked away. They asked again of Hashem, Haba od halor ma'ish, has another man come here? In other words, where is he exactly? He's hiding among the kelim itself. This was where the Urim and Tumim was used. Not before. What they did before was a lottery, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making the decision for them. Now they use the Urim and Tumim. Are we wrong? Is it not Shaul? Should we find somebody else? The Urim and Tumim said, no, it's him. Go find him. He's by the vessels, by the luggage, that's right, around there. That's what Urim and Tumim said over there. When the Medrash says, when Shaul HaMelech was found, he demanded that the Urim and Tumim be asked again to see if he was worthy. Because yes, you pulled it out of a box, but how do I know that that's for real, that he did it? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied, there's no one else worthy. And that was Shaul HaMelech, so he was chosen twice. He was brought forward, and even though he obviously was the right person over here, you see his anivos. Vayirutsu, they ran. Vayikachu bisham, they grabbed him from there. Vayisatzvu b'socham, vayisatzvu b'socham. They stood him in front of the people. Vayigba b'kolam b'shichmo v'valor. He was from shoulder upward taller than everybody else there. At this point, he went willingly because he realized that he was caught. He's going to go, right? But he was above everybody else. Now, that could be literal, that he was a very, very, very tall person. It could very well be that not only was he a tall person, he was just more powerful. He looked greater. He looked more, you know, in shape than everybody else there. Do you see the one chosen by God? There's no one among him, among all the other people. There's no one among him, among everybody else. And everybody trumpeted. And they said, let the king live. May the king live. Shmuel told the people all the laws pertaining to kingdom. He wrote down a sefer and he put it in front of Hashem. Then Shmuel and Abi sent every man back in order to go through. He had these laws written in an actual book. We don't know what this book is, the book of the kingdom. We don't know if it's a separate book or if he just copied down what the Torah says about kings, or if he wrote an actual book that has everything inside there. We have absolutely no idea. But some says he, say Mavish, he put it in front of Hashem, means he put it in front of the Aron Kodesh. So it was a separate sefer of kings that he put in front of the Aron Kodesh itself. That's special. That's something that's a little bit different.
Well, we don't really, the Torah doesn't say much about being a king.
No, only about five psukim.
Right, so he had to have not really made it up, but like
Darshan and gone through and done that. Yeah, you're 100% correct. Yeah, and that was a book. The question now is, where is that book? Does that book still exist? Is it around somewhere? But we have absolutely no idea. Yeah, unfortunately. Shaul went home. He went to Giva. He didn't stay in Mitzpah. The army that were touched by God in their hearts because that Shaul had made king, all of those people ended up going through. And they went that way. But again, this was Shaul's humility, that he was willing to go home without taking anything from anybody else. B'nei Belial, Amru, the evil people are saying, do you think this guy's going to be able to say this? Zuhu? They made fun of him. They didn't bring him a gift. But Shaul was silent. Because again, he's an Anav. We have three examples right now of him being an Anav. Speaking to his uncle, running away, and now not punishing these people right over here. Now, eventually, this led to Shaul and Alex's downfall. His anivus and his ability to give in to the people was his downfall when he yielded to the people and allowed them to keep the spoils of Amalek and also to not fight, right, or to go to fight before Shmuel and Avi had brought his korbanos. He went and brought the korban on his own, not waiting for Shmuel and Avi. That, unfortunately, that humility was something that acted out. But in Perek Yudal, Vayal Nachash Amoni, Vayichano Yavish Gilad. Nachash, the king of Amon, came up and camped by Yavish Gilad. Now, up until now, they've been oppressed by the Plishim. We don't talk about Moab and Amon. We haven't talked about the Ammonim since all the way in the times of Gedo. Like, we haven't spoken about them. We have no idea where they are. Nachash comes along and he camps by Yavish Gilad. The reason why it's called Nachash is because, simply put, he is a snake. And that he's trying to take advantage of the people at their time of need. There's not exactly a king of Klal Yisrael yet, right? Because Shaul hasn't exactly taken the reign, and Shmuel and Avi is now gone. So it's like right in between, right? When the guards are changing. So Nachash takes advantage of that situation. Remember, Kol Anshei Yavesh El Nachash? The people of Yavesh, who lived on the other side of the Jordan River, they were far away from the rest of Klal Yisrael. They weren't sure how Bnei Yisrael would treat them, especially because they were the city that didn't go to fight. Remember? By Pilagish Begiva, and they were destroyed by the rest of Klal Yisrael back then. They said to Nachash, cross a little bris, b'navdeka. Make us a bris, and we'll do whatever you need, right? We're willing to pay tribute, we're willing to do anything over here. But Nachash was divinely arranged to come down. Nachash refused to take anything from them, and he did it on purpose, realizing that this would be the downfall of the kingdom of Yisrael. Sanamo, Shaul is not ready to fight yet. And Yavesh Gilad is a very inopportune way for him to fight his first battle. It's on the other side of the Jordan River. It's an area that Bnei Yisrael are not very happy with. And strategically, it wasn't a very easy place to fight. So if anything, Nachash realized that this is the way to knock down Bnei Yisrael. Right? They're either not going to fight for Yavesh Gilad, they'll let Yavesh Gilad go. And for that, everybody's going to look at Shaul and be like, what the heck? What are you doing? That's someone, or they're going to fight and they're going to lose because they're not ready for this yet. So they knew that that was going to happen.
Yeah, but they had an army. They were organized.
They were somewhat organized, but not with Shaul, with Shmuel. So if anything, Shmuel is going to lead them out to battle, which means that Shaul won't be looked at as the king. They'll say like, oh, Shaul really is nothing. He doesn't do anything. That's what they're going to look over here. That's the idea behind it. Now, that's Art Scroll mentioned something about a vacuum of leadership to be able to go through over here, but that's the idea. Also, remember who Yavesh Gilad married. The people that were left of Yavesh Gilad, the daughters, had all married Shevet Binyamin. This was a strategic position to knock down Binyamin and to knock down the people. So, Yoyalayim Nachashamani said to them, Bizosechoslechem, this is the only way I'm going to make a bris with you. Bin Korlechem Kol Ein Yamin, if you cut out your right eyes, take out your right eyes, Bisamtia Cherpal Kol Yisrael, I'm going to make it a sign of shame over Bnei Yisrael. The first thing is, Nachash meant it literally. That's the first shot over here. He might have meant the slingers and the archers, the people who were, you know, in charge of bows and arrows and stuff like that. However, it's more than likely that it's referring to the Torah. And he said, when I mean your right eye, I mean the apple of your eye, the greatest thing that you own, I want you to knock down your Torah. I want you to follow our Avodah Zarah and do everything we do and knock down the Torah. If you do that, then I'm willing to do whatever you want. But Yemori loves Zikri Yavish. The elders of Yavish said to him, Heref Lanu Shivas Yavim, stay away from us for 7 days. We're going to send out messengers throughout all the borders of Israel. If nobody will save us, then we'll go ahead and do there. Now, Nachash should have just been like, no, I'm going to come right now. That's what it should be. But this is all the plan. It was in order to embarrass Bnei Yisrael. So on purpose, he said, sure. Let's see what happens. That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted Bnei Yisrael, right, to be able to, what do we do, and discuss it. So all the angel, the messengers, they came over to Givah Shaul, to the area where Shaul lived. And he spoke these words in the ears of the people. So the people lift up their voices, they all cried out. And the reason why is because they didn't know what to do. Shaul HaMelech wasn't even in the city. Shaul HaMelech was gone. They were sitting there and saying, wait, we got a king for what? What are we going to do now? Shaul came behind the cattle from the field. Meaning, it could be that he wasn't accepted by everybody as a king. So he went back to his work. Right? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he was behind the cattle and still working in the fields over here. But the Radak of the Mari Cross says, impossible. Halachically, he wasn't allowed to do that anymore. Once he was the king, even if he wasn't fully accepted, but once he was made king, it means he came in the evening. When the cattle came in, but he was out in the fields doing whatever he wanted to do, but he certainly was not working. That's not going to be over there. Also, people say it was incidental that he came in after the cattle. It was only on purpose because of what he's about to do to the cattle. That's why it mentions that he came after the cattle itself. Balam ki yivku, why are you guys crying? They told him what happened with the people of Yavish Gilu Vatitzach Ruach Kilo Shol. So the spirit of God came upon Shol b'sham shamu. What's the word they were here? B'shamu. B'shamu. That's weird that I don't have that. As a dvar be'ela, but Yechapamodi, he got extremely angry. You call it a spirit of strength, the power Ruach HaKodesh that came upon him. We talked about this before. The lowest level of nevuah is a level of Ruach HaKodesh that allows you to do something that you wouldn't have had. It's where Ruach Elohim comes upon you. Even people that are not that great can still get this. We talked about people in the army, even the Israeli army nowadays, have the ability to get a Ruach Elohim at times to do things that's not there, even if they're not religious. That was the spirit of Elohim that came upon Shaul. This is not Nevuah. It's the lowest level in which you say, okay, I got to do something for God itself. That's the idea behind it. He was ready to go do whatever it was, and it got Shaul going. Vayikach seven bakar. He took a yoke of oxen, meaning a pair of oxen. Vayinatchayu. Cut them into pieces. I don't think it was with his hands. He actually cut it up. He sent it out to all the borders of Israel. One of the hands of the messenger saying, anybody who doesn't come after Shaul and Shmuel, this is what's going to happen to his cattle. There was a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that came upon the people. Everyone came as one. Shaul told them, this is what's going to happen if we fail to act as one and we're all separate pieces, then we're pieces of meat. We're going to be taken off piece by piece by piece. That's the idea behind it, and that's the difference. Remember before, there was the Pilegesh, right, where he chopped up the Pilegesh and sent it out. That Levi meant to shock. Shaul meant to inspire. And that's why it was okay for him to do this. It wasn't a problem. But Yifkadim b'Bozek, he counted them either at Bozek, or there was the name of the city itself, or they gave a stone or a piece of clay so that, again, you weren't counting them directly. There were 300,000 Jews coming to war, and there were 30,000 people from Yehuda itself. It seems that the people of Yehuda were very, very powerful because of what they were. I just read very, very quickly from Yaakov Kamenetsky that throughout Tanakh, even before the separation of the kingdoms, Yehuda is different. Yehuda was always separate. Yehuda was always considered something separate. There were a tremendous idea behind it. Maybe Binyamin was even afraid to go against them. In other words, again, you have to include Yehuda because they knew that the future king was always going to be from Yehuda. They all knew that. Okay, Vayim Elohim Abayim. He said to the messengers who had come from Yavish Gilad, Kosom le ish Yavish Gilad, this is what you should say to the men of Yavish Gilad. Machor ti alechem tshua, tomorrow you're going to have a tshua, salvation, kechom ha-shemesh, at around the heat of the sun. It's going to take us a while to get there. We'll get there by midday. By that time, everything will be fine. Vayavo ha-malachim, the messengers came, Yagidu l'anshe Yavish, vayismachu. They all rejoiced. They were all happy. Vayavo ha-anshe Yavish, machor neche alechem, the people of Yavish, they said, tomorrow we'll go out to you. This is what they said to Amon. We'll do whatever you want. Now, this was deliberately an ambiguous message to Yavish Gilad, Nachash of Amon. And the reason why is because they didn't want them to know that Bnei Yisrael was fighting them. So they left it ambiguous, says the Abarbanel. Maybe we're going to wage war. Maybe we're going to surrender. We're not going to tell you. But we'll do whatever you tell us to do. Shalom turned the people into three different heads. And then they enter the camp during that pre-dawn watch, very, very early by Boker. Vayaku es Amon. They destroyed Amon ad chomeyom, literally till the middle of the day. Yavish Gilad expected them to come in the middle of the day. They didn't. They hurried and they got there and they won the war by midday. There were a couple survivors. But they were scattered. You couldn't even find two people at the same time. They ran right in such a way where there was no way that they were going to be able to escape. The people said, who are the people that say, should Shaul rule over us? Let's get those guys back and let's kill them. Clearly, Shaul is the right person to be in charge, right? He's capable of rescuing us. He's capable of doing everything for us. Shaul HaMelech said, "Lo yimas ish b'yom hazeh." No one should die on this day. Because today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a great salvation among Bnei Yisrael. Nobody's going to do. So he had the right to pardon them. And he did. He didn't want to mar the victory by tragedy. He didn't want to have anything like that. But that's the idea behind it. And he also wanted to prove everyone, Hashem did this. I didn't do this. This is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? If it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it's not for me, I can't say anything against him. Shmuel said to the people, let's go to a Gilgal. We'll renew the kingdom. That's what Shmuel said. You really want to do this? Fine, let's renew it. They went to Gilgal. As Shaul lived in Hashem, they made Shaul king in front of Hashem. They brought up Shlomim, lived in Hashem. Shaul was happy there. And all the people were extremely happy. They all did it unanimously. They understood. He is going to be the king over all of Bnei Yisrael. Fine. Perek Yud Beis. V'yamar Shmuel kol Yisrael. Shmuel says to Bnei Yisrael, Hina shemati v'kolcha, l'cho asher amartim liva, m'licha leichem echel. Listen, I listened to your voice. Everything you told me, I made you a king. You asked me to make you a king, I made you a king. That's all. Hina melech misalvos v'necham. Now you can see the king in front of you. This is all in Gilgal, when they were renewing the kingship. And he's a kanti. I'm old. V'savti. I'm of that age. Uvanai, hina mitchem. My children, they're with you. I have been before you from my youth up until this day itself. Now he said, you know why I'm zakanti? You know why I'm safti? I'm only 52 years old. You know why I'm so old? Because I traveled everywhere for you. I gave up everything in my life for you. I was willing to do everything for you, and I became old before my time. As for my sons, hold on a second. You guys were telling me that they were doing these terrible things. They're in front of you. You can do whatever. If you have any proof that what they did was wrong, that they took this bribe or they did whatever it is, then do whatever you want with them. He was trying to say to them that I've heard a lot of rumors. I haven't heard any truths. And do you know anything that my sons have done? And it's like that. You want to remove them from their posts? If you can prove that they deserve to be removed from their posts, remove them from their posts and put them around. They're now with the people. They're equal. Some say he actually did remove them from their posts and they were the equals. And he said, they're with you now. They're among everybody else. So I'm not doing this for myself and I'm not doing it for anybody else. All right? That's that. The Malbim says, he actually said to them, they're like you. They're not wealthy. If they really took bribes, why aren't they wealthy? Right? Back up your challenges against them or don't say anything whatsoever, right? The Mitsudo said they also have to follow the king. And that's the idea behind it, right? That's the idea behind it. And the final idea is they're like you, they're not like me. Their standards may not have been on my standard, but they're certainly no worse than the rest of you. Pasuk Gimel. Hidi Anu Bi. I want everyone to answer me. Neged Hashem, Neged Mishicho. Opposite God and opposite His anointed one. As Shor Milakachti, have I ever taken anybody's shor? Meaning, did I ever eat any of your food? Chamor Milakachti, did I ever take your donkey to go from place to place? That's Mia Shakti. Is there anyone that I took money from? As we were associates, anyone I oppressed? Miami Lakakti Kofer. Did I ever take any bribe? V'ali made a bow so that I could hide my head from him. V'ashiv lechem. Speak up, and I'm going to return the money to you. Right? How did I do this over here? I have the right. I had the right to be able to ask you for anything. I could have asked you for a donkey. I could have asked you for food. I could have asked you for anything. But no, I used my own and I did nothing from them. And that's that. Even if I appropriated something, I would make sure to pay it back. But I do anything over here. I saw how Eli's sons abused their office. I saw how you guys are. Is that the same thing by Yomru? They said, look, you didn't rob us, you didn't oppress us, you didn't take anything from anyone. I want Hashem to be an aid, and I want the anointed one to be an aid. You have nothing against me. Yomer, aid. And he said, aid. Now, some say that this is referring to Klal Yisrael as a whole. That Bnei Yisrael as a whole, and that's by Yomer as opposed to by Yomru. Instead of saying that they said, it's by Yomer, he said, aid. That a baskel came down from Shemayim and said, aid, I am a witness. I'm telling you that never happened. Or you could say it's all of Bnei Yisrael getting together and saying it together as one, right, that we are an aid, etc. Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Shmuel la'am Hashem, asher asa as Moshe b'Aaron, asher hela as v'zichem Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave you, who made Moshe and Aaron and brought your forefathers up from the land of Mitzrayim. Now stand up and I will judge you, Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. It's called Tzikos Hashem, Shal Seitchem, Yisav Seichem. Everything that God did for you and your fathers. Because you clearly know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. I'm going to explain to you what he did and why you didn't need this king in the first place and yet you still asked for it. So that's what he said over here. So he said, Kasher Ba Yaakov Mitzrayim. When Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, Yisav Seichem, Yisav Seichem, your fathers called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisav Hashem, Moshe and Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe and Aaron, Yisav Seichem, Yisrayim, he took you out of Mitzrayim, Yisav. And he settled you in this place, obviously through Yoshua, right? But he took you guys down, took care of everything you needed, and he brought you over here. Did you need a king then? No. They forgot Hashem their God. They were sold into the hands of Sisera, Sartzva Chatzor, who is the general of Chatzor's army. He'll be a plishim in the hands of the plishim, be a melech Moav, in the hands of the king of Moav. If you remember, that's Eglon melech Moav. They waged war against him. Now, it is interesting. If you wanted to do this in order, Moav should have been first, and then Sisera, and then the Pelishtim. You're missing a couple other people that they were oppressed by, right? But if you want to do an order, that's that. So it could be it's an order of how bad it was. In the hands of Sisera, it was really bad. In the hands of the Pelishtim, it's been bad, right? And in the hands of Moab, the king of Moab, it wasn't so bad. So maybe that's what it refers to over here. Ammon was burning their stuff, and, you know, they were poor, but they never ruled over them in that way. But Yizakel Hashem, they cried out to Hashem, Yomru, Chatanu. And they said, we sinned. We forsook Hashem and Avodah of all of Yisrael. So we served Baal and Ashtoreth. So now save us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you. That's what they said. So Hashem said, you are Baal. That's Gino. There's Bidon and Shimshon. There's Yiftach and Yiftach. There's Shmuel, as well as me. And he saved you from the hands of your enemies. We saw all around. And you were able to sit in surety. Now, first of all, you don't normally talk about yourself in third person. You know, Shmuel doesn't say that about himself. But because he was prophesying, he was saying the words that were given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Shmuel Anavi was not actually aware of what he was saying. He was merely a mouthpiece for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to say. That's the idea behind it. Now, Chazal say that the reason why they're called this way, Yerubal, we do know that Gito was known as Yerubal. Do we remember the reason why? Because he fought against the Baal and he did everything against the Baal. So he's known as Yerubal. So that's that. Bidon, we have never seen Shimshon known as Bidon. But clearly, the only Choshev person that we know from Shevet Dun was Shimshon. So he's the guy of Dun. Like, that's what he was known by the other people, right? Especially because it could be that he only fought for Dun. We never see Shimshon fighting for the rest of Klal Yisrael. He was fighting, as we see, for Shevet Dun itself. It says, and Shmuel. Now, compare that to also the people that we had before, Moshe and Aaron. And the idea is that even though, obviously, Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach, well, Yiftach is a straight-out name, but Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach were not as chashuv as Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. The idea behind it is that every leader in its time is outstanding. And you have to have the same respect for those leaders, whether they're Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, or they're Gidon, Yiftach, and Shimshon. They may not be on the same level, right? And maybe they don't compare whatsoever, but it doesn't matter. If that's the leader at your time, you have to treat him with that respect that you would to Moshe Aaron. And that's why they're put all together. Yerubal, Bidon, Yiftach, Shmuel, and we've already talked about Moshe Aaron itself. And that's the reason why they were able to do everything. It is interesting. Again, who saved them from the Plishtim? Yiftach and Shmuel. That's definitely true. Who saved them from Sisra? Yael, right? Devorah, Baruch. Not Gidon, and not Shimshon, right? Maybe Shimshon is also, Shimshon and Shmuel were there, right? But it wasn't Yiftach, it wasn't Gidon. Who saved them? So they're not mentioned over here. And then who saved them from Melech Moav? That's Shamgar ben Anas and technically Ehud ben Gera, right? Ehud ben Gera and Shamgar ben Anas was around the same time. So it's weird. If I would have said this, I would have said Vayishlach Hashem as Ehud ben Gera. Yes, I don't know, Devorah v'Yael and Baruch. Yes, Shimshon and Shmuel. But Yiftach and Gidon are put down over here, and that's where Chazal say there's something up with this idea. They say it's got to be that they're equal to another. Vatiru. And you saw Ki Nachash Melech Amon Ba'alechem. You saw that when Nachash, king of the Ammonites, came upon you. Batongalin, you said to me, Lo, Ki Melechim Lochalin. You said to me, No. We want a king to be ruling over us. We want a king to be in charge. Wait a second. Hashem, your God, is your king. You don't need a king, right? Nachash was already beginning to oppress them. Nachash was already avowed, and one of the reasons why they wanted a king is because they wanted to save themselves from that oppression over here. But Abarbanel says, didn't you realize that was a mistake? As soon as you asked for a king, that's when Nachash really was starting to oppress you. Didn't you realize that was happening right there? You should have done tshuva immediately, but you didn't, and now look at where we are at. Here is the king that you chose, the one that you asked for. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put him upon you as a king. Im tiru Hashem, if you serve, if you fear Hashem, and you're willing to serve Him, you listen to His voice, you're not willing, you don't want to rebel against the word of Hashem, well, then you and your king that is reigns over you, etc., will both be after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything will be good. But if you don't listen, you're willing to rebel against the word of Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is going to be against you and all of your forefathers as well. In other words, the idea is, when you sin, the past generations are also punished. That's how Rashi says it. Even their grave sites are disturbed, right? But the Radak says, Avosechem is not referring to your fathers who are in the grave already. It refers to the kings. That's what it refers to, that the kings are going to be disturbed as well. Gamato. So even now, I want you to stand up and see this great thing that Hashem is doing in front of your eyes. Isn't it the time that you're supposed to reap the wheat? That's Shavuos time. Okay, so it's in the middle of the summer. I'm going to call to Hashem, he's going to bring down lightning and rain. And then you'll know and see that your evil is very great, that you have done in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by asking for yourselves for a king itself. That means that it's weird, and I'm showing you that it wasn't the right thing to do. All you had to do is daven to me and ask me to do everything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not daven to me, but ask me to do everything, and I would have davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I can do whatever I want. Let me show you, and I can do something that's unbelievable over here. Now,
if this was Shavuos, Mm-hmm. Maybe when the people of Yavesh Gilead said, give me 7 days, they just wanted to...
The Torah itself, and they wanted to keep Shavuos.
No, they wanted to do Pesach.
Very good. Oh, no, Pesach, too far away. That's the time of the reaping of the barley.
No, but I'm saying, this that happened.
Oh, maybe this was 30 days happened, later. Ah, very good. That was a little bit later, so they said 7 days to give us Pesach. But then they went on Pesach.
Why not? They only kept one day.
They only kept one day. That's true. But yes, they don't have to worry about Cholamoy. Cholamoy is not just them. Okay, but yeah. It very well could be.
Circumstance.
Yeah, it's pretty
extenuating.
They
were being threatened.
Yeah, but that's the idea behind it. Meaning, the idea is, I am going to accept, Hashem is saying to them, Mida Kenegamida, I'm willing to accept Shmuel's request for rain on Shavuos, or around Shavuos time, even though it's a bad thing, so too I'm willing to accept your request for a king, even though it's a bad thing. And that's what he's showing them. That's the idea behind it. So Shmuel called out to Hashem, Yitir Hashem calls him utter. Hashem brought out lightning and rain on that day. Vayira kolam. All the people were very afraid. Ma'od, as Hashem Yashmuel, of Hashem and of Shmuel. And all the people said to Shmuel, please, daven for your servants, right, to Hashem your God. Do not let us die. Because we might die because of our sins. It was evil, right, to ask for a king itself. Shmuel said to the people, don't be afraid. You did all of this evil, but don't stray from after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'avadetem Hashem b'chol levavchem, and you should worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your hearts, and everything will be okay if you do that. If you do that, you have nothing to worry about. Lo tasuru, do not go away. Ki acharei tohu asher lo yu'ilu lo yatzilu ki sohu hema. All of that is straying after emptiness that won't help and won't save you, because it's all garbage. Ki lo tishu Hashem b'samo, Hashem will never forsake His nation, b'avodesh Hashem al-gadol, because of His great name. Ki ol Hashem l'asos zechem lo la'am, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make you a nation that's dedicated to Him. Gam enochi chalila limechatu l'Hashem. Also I, chalila, that I would ever sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I would stop davening for you. I will continue to instruct you in the right path and the right way that's supposed to go over here. I'm going to daven for you, and I'm willing to do anything to be able to make you guys do tshuva and everything like that. There's a Gemara in Brachos, Yud Beis Mabez, that not davening for someone else when you can makes you into a sinner. And we learn that from right over here. He's like, Chalil Ali, Mechato LaHashem, Mechato L'Yisbalu. It's a chait if I wouldn't daven for you when I should. Ach, Yeruah Hashem ba'avadatem also, but fear God and serve Him ba'emes, in truth, b'chol levavchem, with all of your heart. Ki ruah asher igdil machem, because you see everything that God has done with you. V'im ha'reya toreyu, and if you do evil, gamatem gamalchem stuff within you and your king will all be destroyed, right? Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to daven and everything's going to go down. Okay, that leads us into Parakut Gimel over here. We're now in Parakut Gimel. Let's see. Pazik Aleph. Ben shana shol b'malcho, shtei shana malacho Yisrael. Shalom Melech was 1 year old in his reign, and he reigned for 2 years on Klal Yisrael. Now, right there, you got to wonder. He was 1 year old when he became king? We already said that he was older than Shmuel. The likelihood is that he's over 50 years old. He might be 60 at this time. Right? Yeah.
What was saying? The quote-unquote government, or whatever you want to call it, sitting right now? Like, where was...
Technically, Givat Shaul, because that's where Shaul lived. Yeah. Now, did they move stuff to Gilgal or Mitzpah? Probably, because both are in Sheva Binyamin, so it makes sense that it would be right around there. But technically, it was Givat Shaul, because that's where he was living. But we don't know where exactly the palace was.
Because the Mishkan was like...
The Mishkan was all over the place, right? Because you had the Arun in one place, you had the... That was in Kiryas Arim, right? You had the rest of the stuff somewhere. Them. Right, right. So we're not sure exactly where everything was, where anything was going. Nov Yerukalanim was obviously an important place. That's where all the Kohanim were, right? Clearly, there was some type of Mishkan in Nov, right? But where exactly or what, we don't know. Okay, so the question is, hold on a second. He was not 1 year old, right? So some say it was 1 year into his kingdom, and he reigned for another 2 years, right? So that's 3 years altogether. Right? So that's the idea behind it. The first year, he wasn't fully established. He wasn't fully accepted. He ruled for an additional 2 years. That's the idea behind it that goes over here. Some say that it's impossible that this all happened in 2 or 3 years, right? Impossible. Really, the years of his reign are counted only until David was anointed by Shmuel. Shaul then reigned for another 2 years after that until his death, which means it could be that Shaul HaMelech was actually king for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. That's a possibility. And then he was king for 2 years after David HaMelech had been anointed as king by Shmuel HaNavi. It's a little bit strange because the amount of years that Shmuel HaNavi was Navi for was he was the shofet for after Eli died, and then when he made Shaul, he was only Navi for like 11 years. So if you made him king like 3 years later, it's a little strange, but it's possible. It is definitely possible. Also, Shmuel Navi would have been like 46 when he said, I'm really old. Was he really saying he was really old at the age of 46? That's a little bit strange when it goes through there. And Chazal tell us it means he was as innocent as a baby. Innocent as a baby, and there's a Maimer Chazal over here. Every time a person gets married, gets thrown into a position of like a king, or gets a brand new, you know, whatever, a shtela, it's a new job that's totally different, you lose all of your sins. It's ki'ilu, you have a kapara for everything you did, and you're now a different person altogether. Everything is different by you, and that's the idea behind it over here. Okay, so it says, V'yichar lo shol shlosh zalofim Yisrael. So Shol chose for himself 3,000 Jews. V'yichar shol alpayim b'mechmosh, or b'har Beisel, and they were with Shol. 2,000 were in Michmosh and hot in the mountain of Beisel. V'elef ayum Yonasan b'givas b'nyamin. And 1,000 were with Yonasan and givas b'nyamin. Yesar am shilach yishol alof. And he said, all I need is a standing army of 3,000 people. The rest of you I'm going to put in miluim. Right? When I need you, I'm going to call on you. But everybody else can go home. I don't have to worry about anything else over here. That's the idea behind it. Now look over here in this map. You see Mitzpah, Ramah, Giva of Binyamin, Givas Binyamin, right? There is Givon right over there, Beis El, Rimon, Michmash, and Beis Oven are right over there. Okay, so that's where it was. Okay, so he took these people over here. The rest he didn't have to worry about. V'yach Yonasan is in the Plishtim. So Yonasan slew the prince of the Plishtim, Asher Begeva, that was in Geva itself. V'yishmul Plishtim, and the Plishtim heard. V'shol talk of a shofar, he blew on the shofar b'chol ha'aretz leimor throughout the land, saying, Yishmo Yivrim, let the Hebrews hear. Now clearly, the Plishtim were not relegated to just living in the Plishtim lands. They were still around somewhere, right? They were still around, and they were still there. There was a commissioner, an officer, who was sitting at Geva itself, and that person was the one who was killed by Yonasan. He was the one who assassinated him as an act of rebellion. Then Shaul blew the shofar to warn the Bnei Yisrael that an attack from the Plishtim was nigh. It was coming soon. Because if they just killed that guy, clearly something was going to happen. It was going to be imminent, and that's that. So he blew on the shofar to warn the Jews, this is what just happened, now do everything over here. The Radak and Rashi says there were Jews who lived among the Plishtim. They lived out of there out of fear. Shaul HaMelech was now telling them, run away. Flee as soon as you can. And they did. They fled across the Jordan River. They were scared what they were going to do. All Bnei Yisrael heard. The Shaul HaMelech, obviously the king, gets the fame, right? The prince of the Plishtim. So too, the Plishtim were now disgusting to Bnei Yisrael. The people were called up to follow Shaul to Gilgal. They're ready to do whatever it was, right? So the Plishtim gathered together to wage war with Bnei Yisrael. Shloshim elef rechev. They had 30,000 chariots, v'shishas elefim prashim, and 6,000 officers, you know, like horsemen. Va'am kachol shal sasiyam. And there were people like the sand on the banks of the Sea Lerov. That's how many there were. Va'yalu v'yachnu b'michmash kidmas beis oven. So they came, they camped by Michmash, east of Beis Oven. That's where they went. They went to right over there. Ish Yisrael ratu, kitzarlo. So Bnei Yisrael ra'u, I'm sorry, they saw kitzarlo and it was bad. Ki nigas ha'am, the people had approached. Vayischabu on the ma'aros v'chavachum v'asloim v'atzrichim v'abaros. They were scared. They started hiding in different pits and in different rocks and all these different areas, forts, etc. Because again, they were scared of everything over here. Now the Plishtim dominated Bnei Yisrael to the point where they weren't allowed to have any real implements of war. Which is amazing because they just fought against Ammon. And they had no problem whatsoever. So either number one, that shows you that there are years missing that we're not sure about. Or number two, the Plishtim didn't care if they had weapons to fight against Ammon. The Plishtim cared that they would have weapons to fight against them. So that's the idea behind it. He made sure. Ve'ivrim avros yarden. The Jews crossed the Jordan River. Eretz Gad v'Gilad. They went to the land of God in Gilad. V'sholot denim v'Gilgal. Shol was still at Gilgal. V'cholam chordu achorav. All the people rushed to follow him over here. Some ran, some went, whatever, but some ran to Shaul HaMelech to get a little bit of help. Vayochel shivas yamin l'moed, asher Shmuel. They waited 7 days for the time that was appointed them by Shmuel. Remember what Shmuel had told them before? We remember, because to us it was only like 6 minutes ago. For them, it was a long time ago. V'lo Shmuel Gilgal, you didn't come to Gilgal, but you have to tell me. The people started to disperse. Everybody started running away. They started to desert. Vayomer Shaul, Hagishu Eli Ola. All right, said Shaul, bring me the Ola Vashlamim, Vayala Ola, and he brought it up. Remember, this is a Bama, and therefore even a Yisrael is allowed to do this. So Shaul brought up the Bama. Vayikachalosa Alosa Ola, after he brought up the Ola, Vayinishmol Ba. That's when Shmuel showed up. Vayitze Shaul to cross the Vorcho. Shaul came out to Shaul to get a bracha. Vayomer Shmuel, Ma'asisa. Shmuel said, what did you do? I saw that the people were scattering. You weren't coming at the time of the days that you had planned. The pollution were already gathered at Michmash. I didn't know what to do. And I said, Ata, you're the pollution. What if the pollution come right now to me? I had not yet davened to Hashem. Therefore, I restrained myself and I brought up the Ola. Now, isn't that interesting? I restrained myself and I brought the Ola. No, dude. Restraining yourself means not bringing the Korban Ola. But this shows you how bad it was. I restrained myself from getting angry and saying, how could he ditch me? How could that have happened? Instead, in desperation, I said, okay, this is what I need to do. Chachma u'moster and perikuf lametes says, simply put, just admit your sin. Don't say anything. Don't excuse yourself. Don't say any circumstances that justify your actions and what you're doing. Just say, you're right, I sinned. You're a fool. You did not listen to the mitzvah of the tzivoy of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have established your kingdom forever and ever. You demonstrated a lack of faith in Shmuel's prophecy. You misunderstood what you were going to say. You should have remained confident that Shmuel was going to end up showing up by the end of the day itself, right? And because you didn't do that, I can't do anything. Now, he's not telling him you're going to lose. He just told him, you lost out on a grand opportunity. You had an awesome opportunity. You should have done that, and that's that. Now, Heichan Hashem is Mamlach Tal Yisrael Ad Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to prepare for you some type of kingdom forever that was never promised you before. You were going to become king until David HaMelech becomes king. Now you're going to have, you would have had something, and now you lost out on that ability. But the Rambag says it's gone from that point on. Yeah.
Well, I don't like that because there's clearly a, we know that it has to be from Yehuda.
But Shaul would have had something. Shaul won't have anything anymore, and Binyamin will no longer have it. Whatever they would have been, would they have been regents or whatever it was? But they lost out on everything because of what he just did over here, and that was the problem, right? That's the idea behind it. Maybe Yehuda would have been the one in charge of all Klal Yisrael, and Binyamin would have kept their autonomy. Maybe Binyamin would have been in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, and they would have been in that area itself, right? They would have been viceroys, maybe. That's how the Ramban understands it. But they lost Abato, Mamlachtecha Lo Sakum. Your kingdom is not going to last. Because Hashem lo ish kol vavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to want another man that will act according to his desires, Hashem's. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make him the prince on his nation, kilo shemarta es asher tzivcha Hashem. Because you didn't obey what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him. Because under stress, you weren't able to keep Hashem's command, you cannot be the person in charge of Klal Yisrael. Vayakom Shmuel v'yalmin in Gilgal, givas binyamin. Shmuel got up. He went up from Gilgal to give us Binyamin. Yivko Cholos Amini counted the people. And he saw Yimuel, Kishesh Miel Seish. There was about 600 men left. That's all there was. Same thing. Meaning he was took the pieces of whatever it was. But he realized that he only had 600 men left, nothing else. But not that he counted them illegally. They were sitting in Geva Binyamin. And the Plishim were sitting. They were camped by Mikmash. The raiders came out in the camp from the camp of the Plishim. There were three heads. One went to the road of Ofra, Elaritz Shu'al, to the land toward the south. One went to Beis Charon. The other one went to the border of the area, Hanishkaf al Geit Zivonim and Mibara, toward the Valley of the Snakes, toward the desert itself. Right? And that's where they ended up going through. Now, maybe Sheol is a fox, right? Maybe the Zivonim are these types of snakes, etc. They went to the wild areas, not worried, because they knew that Sheol's army was depleted. There was nobody left. They had enough spies to tell them that. And they said, okay, we can do whatever we want over here. We're not worried about anything. Not only that, there were no smiths in all of Eretz Yisrael. We don't want the Jews to make a sword or a spear. Once Shmuel, right, was no longer able to go around, the Plishtim began to assert themselves back, and they removed all the blacksmiths from Bnei Yisrael. At first, that didn't matter. Bnei Yisrael were like, why are they getting rid of all the blacksmiths? But then they realized, we can't make weapons. Every Jew would go down to the land of the Plishtim to sharpen their plowshare, Ves Eso, and their bolts, Ves Karduma, their axes, Ves Machareshah, so and all their tools that they had, and that's that. By Haisat Hapatsira, Pim lamacharishos. There was multi-edged files that they used for the plows, la'isim for the plows, melishlosh kilshon, la'kardum la'hatzav adarvan. But they didn't have any real weapons. They just had files, things to file them down. Vayabiyom melchemes in the day of war. There wasn't a single sword or spear in the hands of all the people. Sure, Shol there was Shol ves Yonasan, but Timsel Shol Yonasan Bino. But Shol and Yonasan, they had. they were able to go over there. How did they have it? So either number one, since they were the king, the only things that they had left, they gave to the king itself, right? Others say it was a miracle. Rashi says they were miraculously provided with weapons by an angel, or by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, says Medrash Shmuel. Rashi says it was through an angel itself. Vayikra Rabba says the nisus was deserved because they were very careful about the mitzvah of Shechita. That's why. And we'll finish with this. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayetim Atzah Plishum Avar Mechmash. The officers went out to the pass of Mechmash. They're ready to fight. They were ready to fight. They're ready to go. And Bnei Yisrael was not ready whatsoever, not knowing what to do at this point. We'll stop right there up until Perek Yud Dalet.